Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's BMAZ and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
That's right. BMAZ and Beamer back with you here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and my good friend Joe Beamer.
Oh, Brian, good to be back.
It's strange. We had the Taste of Buffalo people in here, and it smells like food.
It does, yeah.
Which is like good and bad. You know, I love the smell of food, but it's just like the constant smell of food when you know you're not eating.
Yeah.
I have an aversion to, you know, what they'll do on TV. This is, you know, a little inside baseball for you. What they'll do on TV, you see people show up and they have like an onset, which is amazing. It's like a requirement of every television studio that they have to have an on-camera kitchen.
Yes.
Why?
I mean,
this seems odd.
I think this is a trend that started back in the 80s.
You could do that anywhere. You're not actually cooking food there. I mean, come on.
You know, no, but you got to have the look.
Do you? but, you know, that's what they do. They go to the on-camera kitchen, and they talk about the food, and then they take big bites for the camera, and they show how good it is. And then, you know, like rub your belt, like you're, you know, right. Talking to a 2-year-old and trying to convince them green beans are good.
You're over enthusiastic on TV about the food you just had.
Right. So that's what happens on TV. You do it. You treat, you know, the camera like it's a 2-year-old. Oh, it's so you close up of the and it works. On the radio, it's a little bit different. On the radio, they bring the food in, and it does the same thing, except you can't see me go,
that's right.
You know, rubbing the belly, doing all that kind of thing. All you would do is just hear, which I cannot stand. I know that our listeners are probably...
The sound of someone eating?
The sound of chewing is just something I try to avoid at all costs.
Yeah.
I know, just sound of food in somebody's mouth.
Except for yesterday. Except for yesterday, I've been very good about turning my mic on.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But it's you just have that. I have an aversion to that, and I hope everyone can understand. So, even though we have the food in here, I'll take a bite or something, sneak it when we're off the air for
right.
one of our breaks. But for the most part, I don't eat it while we're on the air because you don't have. The beautiful vision of me. You just have,
and it doesn't add to the context.
Yes,
if you're eating on air,
we can have a conversation about it. I don't need to be chewing in your ear all morning long.
I'll tell you this: the smell of the fried pickles is what really gets me. Is because I'm 2 weeks away from the beach, trying to thin down a little bit, and that would just set me off course.
That always works when you say like, "Oh, I need to be fit in 2 weeks." Let's just try and...
Well, here's the problem, Brian.
Crash diet or something.
Here's the problem, Brian. I've been saying that for a year and a half, and now we're going to do it in 2 weeks.
I got 2 weeks. Give me a six-pack. That always works, right?
Well, I haven't had one in 33 years, so maybe those 2 weeks will work.
But anyways, Taste of Buffalo, go check them out this weekend. Should be a great time. There is two big stories that we've been covering locally. About buildings that are either going to stay or go. One is the Amagon Crematory, which is, it's lasted for years, decades, right? Over what's going to happen there. But then the other one, something we've talked about before, seems to be moving forward. I guess it depends on who you talk to. It's either now closer to demolition or nothing's happening, right? depending on who you talk to. It's either, okay, they're going to knock it down, or, eh, no, we're just going to continue this fight in a courtroom. The Great Northern Grain Elevator, yes. Joe. And it's you know, very interesting, I think, what's going to happen to the Great Northern Grain Elevator, which, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it is the big brick building that now has, for the last 7 months, had a big hole in the side of it.
That's right. That's how you can pick it out.
A giant hole in the north wall of the Great Northern Grain Elevator. And ever since the wind blew a hole in that wall, there's been two sides to this fight. There's been the city of Buffalo, the owner of that land and that building, who say, all right, can we take it down? I think it's time to tear this building down. And then there has been some other politicians and preservationists who say, no, we cannot tear this down because it is of historical significance. The Great Northern Grain Elevator, it's in the best interest of the public to keep this up and restore the building. Okay. So what side do you fall on? 803-0930 is our number to weigh in this morning. 803-0930 on the Great Northern Grain Elevator. My favorite thing, Joe, this morning was the conversations I had in the 7 o'clock hour with State Senator Sean Ryan, and before that, Tim Thielman, who is the preservationist who's kind of, he's the face of the Great Northern Grain Elevator. If the Great Northern Grain Elevator had a face, it would be a giant hole in a brick wall. But if it had a human face, it would be Tim Thielman. And it's been very admirable in his fight to save this. He feels very strongly about it. My favorite part in both these interviews came when, now, both Tim and Sean said that it is undoubtedly in stable condition, that the time that has passed since this hole was blown through the north wall, nothing else has happened. That would prove that the building is stable. So I asked them, okay, if you are so certain that this building is stable and will not fall anymore throughout the entire winter, would you live in a motorhome right butt up next to the Great Northern Grain Elevator? And both of them said, yes, absolutely.
Without hesitation, by the way.
No hesitation. So, how much money do we have to raise between now and December to get this motorhome all winter long at the side of the Great Northern Grain Elevator? We'll figure it out to rig it up with the sewer line and everything, power. You won't have to go without. We can get a nice motorhome.
Right.
One that has a kitchen. So you can even cook.
Yeah, the
back bedroom, the full queen bed.
We will make it. The point will not be to be uncomfortable in the motorhome. The point is being right next to this building. I do think, and again, I don't know much about structures. I don't know much about buildings. I've had people call in during this topic say, you know, it's very stable. I've had other people saying, just tear it down. But I don't know how you can be so sure when half of one wall has already, has already crumbled. Like, are you telling me that's the only unstable part of the entire building?
I do.
It just happened to be the one part that blew out last winter?
Aside from 80% of one of only four walls in the structure, it's perfectly fine.
Right.
Now, I love the answer to the question. It was answered without hesitation. Would you live right next to this? Would you stand under that Great Northern Grain Elevator all winter long? Are you that confident? And both of them said yes. But Joe, as you and I both know, talk is cheap.
It is.
And actions speak louder than words. And if we're going to say that, I think we should go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all for it. Maybe we have some good friends at one of these places that have a motorhome and could sponsor that, put it right under the Great Northern Elevator. Obviously, you can leave to go to work and stuff, but that is where you're staying when you're home. I always say this when we do this topic, Brian. You have to give Tim Thielman credit. He has great enthusiasm. He's genuine when he's talking about his love for these buildings. I really do. I mean, I said this at the beginning. I really do think the time has come for this to finally just be a piece of history.
Well, to what you just said, Joe. He has conviction, and I admire somebody with that amount of conviction, right? who is going to stand by this no matter what, who is convinced that preserving these old structures is the way to go. And having somebody with that type of conviction and with that drive to keep fighting it is extremely necessary.
Yes.
In a lot of cases. There are times when you need that. I would point to the Central Terminal as, you know, that's, you need that. You need people to stand up and say, you know, listen, this is worth saving. It's worth doing something with. It's worth continuing to maintain so it doesn't completely deteriorate, because somebody is going to find that eventual use for it. It's good to have these people with conviction, but that doesn't mean that the people with conviction are always right.
Right.
Just because I admire it doesn't mean I can always agree with it. And while I will agree with, you know, he's talking about the Darwin Martin House, the Olmsted Complex, the Central Terminal. If we're going to put the Great Northern Grain Elevator in that same breath, I'm sorry, I just don't think
I don't agree.
We can let you happen. You look at those previously mentioned, the Martin House, the Olmsted Complex, the Central Terminal, my goodness. You look inside and outside, and I think most people, you know, to a man would say, you know, wow, this is great. This is beautiful. This is some brilliant architecture. This is something that we would never duplicate right now, given the cost of it. This is something worth saving. I don't think you get that same reaction out of the Great Northern Grain Elevator. And the other thing I asked Sean Ryan, he said, all right, you know, that's a great idea. I'd agree with you. Is what if there was a referendum on this type of issue? Is that a fair way to decide it? You know, I am, excuse me if I've grown a little bit tired of leaving everything to the quote-unquote experts, as we have so much over the last few years. But would an expert be better off making that decision? Or, in a case like this, would it be better if you had people explain their point, tell me why this is historically significant. Tell me why we need to absolutely save this grain elevator in particular, even though we do have others. They're not the same, but they are similar. Tell me why. Convince me. And then as a community, you can vote on that and decide what will happen with the structure. And I think that's the way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it compares to the Central Terminal. Something I also talked about last week, Brian, because I went to an event right outside of the Central Terminal, and you walk around. I mean, it's just a giant campus. Obviously, some structures along the terminal probably won't last, but that main building, it's beautiful. There will never be something built like that again, and I'm all for doing everything to preserve that and get someone there. I just can't put the Great Northern Grain. I hate to. Maybe I'm just not as up to date with Buffalo history. I thought I was. I didn't even know about the Great Northern Grain Elevator until this hole fell in the side of it. So maybe I'm not the one to talk. But the Central Terminal, if something happened to that, I know the history of the Central Terminal. I know the history of other buildings around Buffalo that have great historic significance. It took this hole falling in the grain elevator for me to know about the Great Northern Grain Elevator.
And I don't think you're alone.
Right. I hope not.
And again, you know, it's I'm not the expert in things being structurally sound. The hole would tell me that it's not.
I have eyes.
That's the thing. Like, you, there has to be some aspect of realism. And again, if you really believe, it'll be like the old challenge, right? You know, last one to, with their hand on the car wins it, right?
Nice.
Like an old radio contest.
You got to bring those back.
You know, live the winter right next to the Great Northern Grain Elevator. And if you get through it, all right, I'll believe you. Then, you know, we can rebuild and start saving this thing. But no, it's I think a lot of people are with you, Joe, when it comes to this particular structure. If you were to ask that same thing, you were to do the referendum on any of these other, you know, historical places in Buffalo, you know, yeah, I think you get a lot of support behind it.
Yes.
And there are things that deserve to be saved, a lot of them, throughout Western New York. But, you know, the arguments for this, I just don't know. They don't resonate with me the same way that they would some other places. You know, to say this was on the cover of a magazine 100 years ago. Whoop-de-doo. Jack Eichel was on the cover of a magazine. We got rid of him.
That's right.
I mean, why does it have to be any different this time around?
I mean, I'm sure the president's house in Philadelphia was on the cover of a magazine 100 years ago, and still in 1950, they tore down the original president's house in Philadelphia. So, again, I'm not trying to take away.
Didn't house grain, Joe.
What's that?
If they had a grain room.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to diminish the passion that Tim clearly has. It's just, you know, we have all these other great buildings in Buffalo, these historic structures. You've already lost me to begin with, but I completely tune out when you say, I mean, look at all these other buildings. That doesn't even compare. It doesn't come close to comparing to these other buildings.
It almost brings up the amount of time that we've been talking, over half a year now that we've been talking about this. It almost brings up a third kind of leg to the argument, so to speak, right? Where it is a, you know, tear it down or keep it, right? You know, that was the whole thing. Do you think it should be saved or should we tear it down? Now it's tear it down or keep it, or are you just done with having the conversation? Are you totally turned off
yes.
by how slow the process and bureaucracy works that and the court system, too, that this cannot be resolved in a timely fashion?
Yeah, I mean,
I think a lot of people are just exhausted.
I did not think we'd still be talking about it this far into summer, really. I mean, I thought this building would either be torn down or you'd see the that hole getting patched up. And the fact that it's still sitting in that condition and we're still having, I mean, really, it's not just the argument in the public, Brian. The argument's obviously still going on in the court. You have a judge that says they put a stay, they lift it. I mean, back and forth. I just want to see the issue resolved, really.
Is it that outrageous? You know, again, here, Emilio Colaiacovo was the justice who put down this decision yesterday. In that decision, he said, the building cannot survive with a huge gaping hole in the northern wall. Like, is that very...
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, is that really a controversial statement?
It shouldn't
be. Like, is
be.
That something that you immediately, you know, if I'm a lawyer in a courtroom, objection? I don't know. He also said there could be catastrophic consequences to the public
yes.
if the grain elevator were to completely collapse.
That yes. seems like common sense, right? You have a building. I mean, I hate to go back to the obvious. You have a building with a hole in it. It seems that more damage could happen if it's... I mean, what the judge says, I think, makes complete sense.
And here's the thing, Joe. I think we're kind of in agreement when it comes to this. We're generally not when you're Mr. Tear It Down.
I've admitted when I was wrong on being Mr. Tear It Down.
But you generally don't care. You would, you know, not across the board, but generally speaking, any old building, you'd tear it down and put up something as unglamorous as a Kmart.
Any old building that's not being used. There is an empty old building. Again, I mean, there are examples. The Olmsted, the... Richardson Olmsted campus. I mean, there's work being done on there. There's going to be cool tours this summer that I can't wait to take. The Central Terminal, I'm all for something going there. I think it's a beautiful building and the history in that site. But then there are other ones, like I was wrong about the Statler. I said, you know, the Statler's gotten to a point where it's just, but obviously I was wrong. Look at it coming along now. I don't think I'll be wrong about the Great Northern Grain Elevator. I don't think I'll change my mind on that one.
And that's the thing. I am, generally speaking, the opposite. I really like old stuff. And not just buildings, just old stuff in general. I like old buildings. I like the old architecture. And I feel like it gives our city, and I will say thanks to people like Tim Thielman, who have saved a lot of the old architecture, it gives Buffalo a different feel than some of that you go to other places and it's kind of tacky. It's, you know, when you don't have a lot of history behind things when you don't have that unique architecture. I mean, think about this. It's like going into a newly built cul-de-sac versus going through an old neighborhood where all the homes are kind of a little bit different.
Yeah.
Where they have a unique charm to it versus everything that just kind of looks a little cookie cutter. And so for that reason, I generally think the other way. Not so much on this one.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying. Again, I am when there are buildings that have been sitting empty for decades, that's when I become Mr. Tear It Down. Again, there are exceptions to that, but I don't disagree. I think you have a city that has, you know, this old architecture. You don't get that everywhere. No, I think we're very lucky to have what we have. But if we're going to let something just fall apart, if we're not going to use it, that's when I become Mr. Tear It Down. But first, please film a YouTube video walking through the abandoned building. That's all I ask for.
That would satisfy you. Just
I love watching those things.
Okay. Well, you know, Sean Ryan did something interesting, kind of touching on what you said, Joe, to say at the end of his interview. We'll get to that. And your calls, 803-0930. Let us know, should we buy an RV for somebody to sleep the entire winter right next to that Great Northern Grain elevator? You're listening to BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's BMAZ and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, hey, welcome back. BMAZ and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN on what's going to be a lovely Wednesday, a lovely hump day. Glad you could be there to join us, or here to join us, talking about, well, it started with the Great Northern Grain Elevator, a building I don't think many of us were familiar with until about, what was this, Brian, 6 months ago, or even less than that?
In December.
December, okay.
The wind.
Yes.
You know, the wind.
It's a brick building, you should point out.
The wind blew a hole through the brick building. Now, Joe, I was always told when I was a little kid, and I'm seeing this again as the parent of a toddler. Very famous story. I don't know if you ever heard this.
Uh-oh.
Three little pigs. Once three little pigs. They used to be the home builders.
Right.
Which is amazing in and of itself.
Right. I mean, that's the story right there.
Build a home out of anything, and you're a pig? I'm impressed.
Right.
Right from the get-go. But no, they were home builders. Brothers, I think. I don't know. But, you know.
They were pigs.
They knew each other.
Yes, yes.
And they built their houses to live in, have a nice time. One built theirs out of straw, and another built theirs out of sticks.
Okay.
And another pig built theirs out of bricks.
Right. Two of the three don't seem stable.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole story. The whole idea behind building their structure was this has to be able to withstand the wind. So the straw one didn't, and the stick one didn't. Which surprised, heavy winds blow right down the stick. But the brick house, I mean, that stayed. Wind cannot knock down a structure made of bricks.
The house stayed perfect, right? No hole was blown in this house.
No. Now, the moral of the story was to not cut corners on your work.
Right.
But the moral that I took from it was things made out of bricks don't just tumble over in the wind unless there is something structurally wrong with it.
Right.
So I took that moral from the story and put it on the Great Northern Grain Elevator. And when I saw that the wind, just like that story, blew a hole in the bricks, I thought to myself, you know what? I think something might be wrong. Because that, generally speaking, is not supposed to happen.
No.
I learned that from the pig constructors
right
of my youth. And it's exactly what happened here. And in talking with Tim Thielman, who's the leading preservationist behind this, Sean Ryan, state senator, who is, I would say, the leading voice in Albany kind of for preserving this structure.
From the beginning.
Yes, absolutely. He said the day after a hole blew in, he was right down there next to it. Now, both of them told me this morning that they would have no problem. They're so confident in the structural integrity of this building that they would have no problem. I asked, hey, would you live in an RV or a trailer all winter long next to the Great Northern Grain Elevator and sleep soundly at night? And they both said without hesitation, yes. So let's do it. Right?
I would say so.
I mean, isn't that what we're there? Put your money where your mouth is. Let's go and do it. Now, I don't actually want them to do it because I don't have as much faith in the structural integrity of this building.
I agree with the judge that it does pose a catastrophic consequence to human life and the public. So in reality, IRL, in real life, I would not want them to put an RV right next to the building.
Yeah, I think that would be a mistake. But it does go to show what's happening with that building right now. I put this almost in the category of, remember when we were talking about Volcker's Lanes?
Yes.
And a similar fight, and we were actually talking with Tim Thielman about this. Now, it's a little bit different because, you know, it was on the cover of a magazine 100 years ago. But it is something like this that, I mean, we've seen countless times that it doesn't take much to ruin a reputation, right? Or to put a stain on everything else you did, right? You know, you can do one thing wrong, and then all of a sudden, everybody... We talk about most politicians like this, right? You can agree or disagree with anybody. But I'll always say that even if it's like the craziest person, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
Right.
It could be someone you completely disagree with. Like, eventually, you're going to agree with them on something.
Yes.
There's going to be like some things that are right that this person who you disagree with on whatever side or whatever does correctly. The problem with this Great Northern Grain Elevator fight is similar to the problem with the Volcker's Lanes fight, you know, to preserve that building, even though the owner wants to clear the way for something else. Not a lot of in my opinion, not a lot of historical significance there. The problem with this is these arguments, I think, do damage to your greater crusade of preservation. That it's almost like another little tale, the boy who cried wolf, right?
Right.
That it's going to eventually get to a point where people tune out what you're saying about anything, and maybe the next building that you're trying to save is something that really is worth saving, that is structurally sound, that is something that could never be replicated, that is something that there's no duplicate to anywhere else in Buffalo or Western New York. And if you get ignored on that, I don't know who's to blame.
Yeah, maybe on this one, except the L, right? I mean, you're to the point now where a court has, the same judge, by the way, has reversed the temporary stay. Again, maybe, you know, say this was one we felt was worth fighting for. It's going to be torn down, but we have so many other important buildings in Buffalo. Let's bring the focus back to them. And ones that we've been mentioning all morning, Brian, seem to have taken a back seat to the Great Northern Grain Elevator. And I think those buildings deserve a lot more of the attention right now than the one with half or 80% of the wall gone.
I do like one text
that came in on our report, 803-0930. If you want to weigh in on this topic, by the way, give us a call. Lend us a text on the Volkswagen Virtual Park text board. I do like one thought that came in on this, and it has to deal with how you determine, you know, what's historical, or what's historically significant, what is worth preserving. You know, how is that determination really made? I said, you know, the easy answer is to just take public consensus. You make it a referendum. You have both sides argue out their point in a public forum. And then at the end of the day, you put it up to the people in that community.
Right.
You know, what do you want to see done? What do you believe is the right thing to do here? And the people will make that decision. It doesn't appear like that's, you know, really going to happen here. But, you know, what are some of the things that go into historically significant? So the argument here is, you know, it was kind of the first of its kind. It was an architectural marvel of its time. It was bigger than anything else. You know, it's humongous. Its size had a lot to do with it. And, you know, that kind of plays into it. It's very old at this point. That plays into it a little bit. Someone on our text board put in, you know, maybe meaningful memories are part of the preservation efforts or should be. I like this argument, too. And his thing had to do with the Central Terminal. He said, my uncle left Buffalo via the terminal, never returned. And there's a meaningful memory there. You know, people have memories of exactly that.
Yeah.
At the Central Terminal. It's a place that people used and, I mean, was really a part of living in Buffalo, a coming and going, a meeting place. And I do think that plays into it. The Statler, along that same line. Now, the Statler's a little bit different just because of where it's located, maybe. But people lived there. People got married there. People held events there. I mean, there's kind of a history of events that happened inside of that, too. The Olmsted Complex, you know, that's a more of a complicated history.
Yes.
Of what happened inside there. But it is, you know, important in a way. Should that be a part of this discussion? Or what would make it a part to you? I mean, what stands out to you of what would cause you to say, we should save that building?
Yeah, you know, someone called in last week, and the Central Terminal, he told stories of when he was a kid, him and his grandmother would go to Rochester for the day. And that was regular for some people, taking that Buffalo to Rochester train from the Central Terminal. And it was an all-day event. You go to the terminal, you get a nice meal at one of the places, and you hop on a train, you go to Rochester for the day, and you come back. And he said, as a kid, I'll never forget walking through that building. And, you know, just as a child, being in awe of the structure. And, you know, every time he passes that building, he thinks of those great memories. And I think that definitely sticks. And I think the same can be said about the Statler, Brian, with people, you know, either being married there, people who stayed there, as you said, people who lived there, even people who may have worked at the top floor there when it was a radio studio, right? There are memories in that building. I just don't feel with the Great Northern Grain Elevator, people have those kind of lasting memories. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel.
Someone on that topic of memories, someone said, my father-in-law was a grain miller, 40 years, was in that elevator many times. He says it's in terrible shape and should be torn down.
Okay, yeah, there it is.
I'm not going to, frankly, I'm not taking anybody's word for it except for, I don't know, just a completely
your eyes?
Independent, my eyes. My opinion comes from my eyes.
Right.
And anyone who says, you know, well, I believe it's this way or I believe it's that, I don't really know who to believe when it comes to being structurally sound. So I'll just believe my eyes. For me, Joe, it has, I like the memory point of it. You know, memories were made here and, you know, maybe that's a reason or a criteria that should go into, right, thinking about preserving something. But that can't be it. Because then Volker's Lanes maybe is saved. Right? You know, it's first dates.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It can't just be memories. Memories can be made anywhere.
Right. That can be played into
it. I have some great memories. Joe, if you go on Millersport by Sheridan, there's a little office right there. It's right by where you get onto the 290.
Okay.
Across the street from the Marriott. Now, I have some great memories in the woods behind there. You would jump over a fence. There was a little clearing. You used to be able to have bonfires there. You'd grab a bunch of people. You'd park somewhere where your cars wouldn't be seen. And then you'd take a little walk into the woods. And there'd be a spot there. You'd have bonfires. You could smoke. You could, you know, you could do all the things that you're not supposed to do as a kid. And that is a lot of great memories. But I don't think that we should just save the barren pit.
I was going to say, you don't want to designate that as...
that shouldn't be fenced off and saved as memories were made here out in the middle of the field underneath the power lines, no, but just personally speaking. So it has to do something else. I think a big part of that, something else, is what was brought up to me. Brian Higgins says this a lot about the Central Terminal, and it's a point I agree with wholeheartedly. You could not make the Central Terminal today.
That's true.
That buildings like that that have architecture that would not be duplicated simply because it would cost more than, you know, building three new football stadiums in order to, you know, go through the process of redoing what was done back then. I think that is like number one criteria, right, of why a building should be saved. It's something that cannot be duplicated. Historical significance helps. You know, you like the Teddy Roosevelt inaugural site.
Yes.
That's a very, that has historical significance. Nice little museum and stuff, too. The building itself, you know, it's right. Yeah. But it's historical significance that gives it the weight that it should be saved. To me, for most buildings that are in this discussion, it has to do a few things. It's something that is not going to be duplicated in modern times. Then it's historical significance. And then you kind of throw in that memories made type of thing.
Yeah, I think those. I think that's great criteria. And most buildings that are preserved, most buildings that have actually been reused and are have their historic significance and are reused today, they check off all three of those boxes.
The memories made thing, if that was true, no sports stadium or arena would ever be torn down.
That's right. The odd would still be here.
I mean, that's like right on memories. I think that's that was on the poster. It was either adios, get it, or thanks for the memories.
Yes, I remember both those signs.
And that was on there. Like, thanks for the memories, but see ya.
Right. Thanks for the memories, but this is
well, see ya 20 years later when it eventually totally came down.
That's right. And that was another building, though, Brian. Before it was torn down, we had all these glamorous ideas of things you were going to do with it, this and that, and obviously...
But there's the other, reuse.
Yes.
And that's to your point and to something Sean Ryan said at the end of his interview with me, that, all right, if it's torn down, he says one of the problems with that is there's no good plan for reuse of that building or site. And that's something I said, okay, well, there should be a plan. If you're going to tear this down, you've been fighting so hard to get rid of it, there should be a plan for what you're going to do in the future.
Yes.
That should absolutely be a part of it. The reuse of the building is up there. You know, maybe that's under the architecture. You know, can it be duplicated? And then right under there does it have another use?
Right.
Does it have the ability for something else
to be reused?
And is that reuse viable? That's a question that people have a hard time with. This is a text that came in. I love this. Somebody's saying about it being turned into a museum or tourism destination. They said, I can imagine the family sitting around the dinner table saying, hey, do you want to go to Disney or do you want to go see the grain elevator? It's not exactly a decision. I mean, it goes into something I was saying last week, right, about the lights that they slapped on the grain silo across the street from Canalside. You know, you ask people, oh, yeah, it's got a great reuse. We're using this. It's going to attract people from all over the world. No, it's not.
Right.
And, you know, oh, we can reuse this. We can turn it into apartments and mixed use. Really? Can you? It's in the middle of an industrial park.
Right.
I'm going to raise my hand and say, I don't want to live there. I don't. I don't want to live next to General Mills. I have no problem going ice skating once in a while across the street from it. But it's very different from living there or going out to a nice meal next to the train rolling through with a bunch of grain. It's not going to happen.
No.
You have to be realistic in your thinking.
Realistic reuse. Like the Universal International Building, right? That's really cool. That's still standing with the logo on front. But if there wasn't a restaurant in that building, I don't know if it would have been, you know, if someone didn't plan to reuse it, that building probably would have been torn down, right? That's cool. That's cool. A cool piece of history. But does it check all three boxes without something having reused it? Of course not.
You know, and the building's been standing for 125 years. Should all those years count? If for the last 30, 35, it's been completely unused, maybe we should have stopped the clock, Right. Yep. It was used for 75 years. Because if you keep the clock running on some of these things, then I would have argued, Joe, that the sign painted on the side of the brick building downtown, and I cannot think of the street name for the life of me right now, but as you're walking out to the ballpark or walking away from the ballpark, I should say, and it says a maximum comfort, maximum excitement, get your 99 Bills season tickets right there.
That was an important season.
That was only taken down like a year ago.
Right.
It had been up there for 15 plus years. You know what I would have said? Hey, that's got a lot of history there. That's 15 years of memories. Every time I walk past that, I get to think of Doug Flutie running it in on a naked bootleg as time expired in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville. So you need to keep that up there.
Yeah.
Because now it has history. You don't get to say that about something that's just kind of left there unused.
No.
Because no one covered it up.
Amazing that sign did last the entire drought, though. They did not tear it down until the Bills were back in the playoffs.
I needed a Tim Thielman then. Right. Patrick in Hamburg will squeeze you in before we have to go here. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about this conversation?
Well, you know, I just think about Tim Thielman and what a frustration it must be for him to live here. We are fortunate to have people like him, but I'll tell you, I would have given up myself. I would have stuck my head in the oven years ago with all the battles he puts up with. However, he has saved, and his groups and people like him have saved many buildings. Like, we've named a few already, the Botanical Gardens, the Hyatt Hotel, Shays Buffalo, the Theodore Roosevelt inaugural site, Hotel Lafayette, the Richardson Complex, the Central Terminal. How about ECC Downtown? Can you imagine
The old post office. Yeah.
Yeah. Tear it down. Of course, the list of what has been lost is much longer. The old library downtown. If you ever want to have a really bad day, go look up what the old downtown library used to look like. They tore it down to put up a not bad looking one. It's a modern one that was put up in 63 currently. But look at the old one. Oh, my God, you'll die.
But, Patrick, let me ask you, do any of those buildings, where does the Great Northern Grain Elevator even rank on the buildings that have been torn down?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, Joe. I just think of these other ones like the Larkin Administration Building. That was a crime that was torn down. Churches throughout Buffalo, some of them, you go over on the east side and they're still up, but half torn down. They're just crumbling. It's so sad. And here's my last thought. Seneca One Tower. Can you believe it? People actually wanted to tear down Seneca One Tower. It wasn't very long ago. It was just before Jamal hit town, of course. But even a Buffalo News columnist, I won't say his name, he was very popular. He had a weekly column everybody read and everything else. He wrote, tear it down one Buffalo's only tall building. We don't have any skyscrapers. It's only 38 stories tall, but it's our tallest building, and it was going to be torn down. So, you know, let's stop tearing everything down. As far as the grain elevator, I'll leave that up to you guys to talk about, but I just think of all these buildings that are gone, and some of them that are still around because of those preservationists.
Pat, appreciate the call and agree with you on many points. And
we
said it a bunch of times. You need people like Tim Thielman.
Yes.
You need people with conviction and it's easy to make fun of someone who sticks their neck out there. But you need, for all those buildings that you mentioned, you need somebody who's going to stop everybody from making gut decisions, from having those reactions, and from just going and tearing it down. That doesn't mean that they're always going to be right about things.
Exactly.
And I think you just said it there, right?
Right.
You know, the grain elevator, I'll leave that to you.
and I don't deny, like I said, I have been wrong on buildings before. I don't think I'm wrong on this one, but I've been wrong before. You're right. ECC Downtown, the old post office, beautiful building. It would be a shame if that was torn down. It is being reused, however, as well, to our other point. There are some great buildings, and I agree with Tim Thielman on those beautiful structures that can be saved and reused. But like Brian said, I just think this one might not be worth all the hassle.
We'll be back here tomorrow. David's coming up next after the news. You've been listening to B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.